so many reasons. So many ways. Because you are so great and so awesome, so wonderful, so kind, so gentle, so sweet, so powerful, so mighty. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for blessing us as we have blessed you in our worship of you. And Father, I pray that you would continue just to keep our hearts in that soft place, that we would hear from you, that we would respond to you, and just soak in what you have for us. And would you, by your Holy Spirit, teach us, open our eyes and our ears, our minds and our hearts. Thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. This is our last evening in teaching. We'll have groups next week, and then we take our break for the summer. And it seems like each year we're kind of ending sooner and sooner, and that is because we are ending sooner and sooner. We follow Kids Club, and we try to stop the week before they stop, and they're kind of cutting their schedule short, too. It's been a great year. I have, will admit that I have been in a recent pity party because I've missed out on so much. I haven't been able to be here, which is not my heart. My heart is to be here every time I can be. And life doesn't always turn out the way that you want it to turn out. And I know some of you know I'm caring for my parents, and they've kept me very busy this year. Last year, if you would have asked me what the year would have looked like, of course, nobody knows, so I would never have known it would have been like this last year. We were just kind of in the beginning stages with my mom. Both parents have dementia, and you know, it's just a week by week you see them decline. And it's really sad, it's really hard, it's very draining, but it's rewarding and joyful time to take care of them. So, but it wipes me out. And then I went on vacation, which was really great, but apparently that wiped me out, and got sick immediately after, and have been sick since then. So, I have been in a pity party this week, and I was planning to come Saturday. I don't know how many of you came to our luncheon Saturday, but I didn't get to come either because, I woke up with a coughing fit from, I don't know, 4 to 5:30 or whatever, and I got up at 6 to come, go, and Damien told me, no, you're not going. So, but I'm glad I got to be here tonight, and I know I don't even know some of you, and you don't know me, and this will be it until next September. So this year, we started in September, and our series has been on potential pitfalls that we can face in our Christian walks. And what we've done this year is we've talked about several different topics. We've talked, and these are not in order, we've talked about doubt and worry and sin and discontentment and misdirected priorities and holiness and discipline and trials and prayerlessness, emotions, neglecting fellowship and self-sufficiency and more. And we've talked about these things that we need to be aware of because there are traps, there are pitfalls that we need to avoid, and so that we can navigate our Christian walk successfully. And I am having a little bit of a remembrance that the last time I wore this thing, it wanted to keep falling off. So, walking a Christian walk, walking that straight and narrow path, God's path, is not easy. He did not say it would be easy. Nobody should really preach that it's easy, because it's not easy. It's good, it is right, it is the only logical thing to do, but it's not easy. Walking in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the desires of this flesh is not easy, because we fight against our own flesh, our own desires, every single day, and we fight against an enemy who wants to trip us up and put those pits and those traps and the pitfalls in front of us every single day. So this year, our aim was to bring an awareness to what some of those pitfalls might be, so that we would then learn how to avoid them, or learn how to, you know, navigate around them, or how to get out of them, and so that we would be equipped by the Word of God to do all that. So as we wrap up this series, I didn't want to recap and go over each one, because I want to leave on not a note of these are the things we should avoid, but let's be reminded, rather, that our steps every single day are ordered by the Lord, and that He gives us the power and the wisdom and the ability to avoid every single pitfall. And He gives us that power and equipping to navigate our Christian walks so that we don't have to trip and we don't have to fall. We can do it successfully. And then, because He knows the battle and He knows our weaknesses, He picks us up when we fall. And He pulls us out of that pit when we get stuck. And then something, last thing, and I'll close with this, not that I'm closing now, but when I'm done, something that's been on my heart for quite a while, and that is the phrase at the end of Psalm 23 that we just sang about, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." So if you will turn to Psalm 37, we'll get there in a minute, but at least you can have your Bible open for when we are ready. So our steps are ordered by the Lord. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10:23, don't turn there, but just listen. He said, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." Have you ever thought about that? If you think about what he said, you just say, yeah, that's right. You can look around the world, can't you? Look around at people you know who are directing their own steps. It's not working. It's not going real well. I don't know how it goes for you when you try to direct your own steps. We think we know what we're doing, but, you know, we really don't. And it doesn't go well. We do not have the foreknowledge or the wisdom to direct our own paths, to direct our own lives. We just don't. We don't know which way to go and which decision would be best. Even Solomon, who was the wisest man on the earth, he didn't know the end result of his choices until after he made them. So all these Proverbs that he wrote, and Ecclesiastes, all these things, you know, he'd experienced them. He knew. He knew afterward. Solomon directed his own steps, and at the end, the book of Ecclesiastes that he wrote, the end, his conclusion was, it ended in frustration and emptiness in directing his own steps, leading his own life. So though God directs our steps, he has given us a choice to direct our own path or to allow him to direct our path. And thankfully, as Christians, when we've given our lives to the Lord, we can then depend on him to direct our steps, to order our steps, lead us and guide us. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. I've always loved that verse. And you know, it's like every verse I read recently, I just say, oh, I've always loved that verse. I've always loved that chapter. It's been fun because it's like all these things are being re-lit. You know, it's taken me back to my early Christian life and now what God has done. But anyway, I like this verse. In the New Living Translation, it says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Isn't that great? God not only orders every single step we take, every path, but he delights in every detail of our lives. How many people do you know delight in every detail of your life? Probably nobody. I mean, they might like 95% or whatever, or you know, you're telling every detail and your husband says, are we done yet? You know, and the Lord, he never says that. He never says, okay, you've talked long enough. No, he just delights in every detail. So he takes pleasure in the things that he's doing for us. He takes pleasure in planning our day. You know, we get up in the morning, and most of us, not all of us, because there are just people that don't plan and just kind of go with the day. I don't know how to do that, but most of us plan our days, but you know, the Lord plans our days. He directs our steps every day. He's got steps. And now we got to get in line and find where that is, but he loves to do that. He has the foreknowledge. He already knows. If she takes that step, it's going to lead to that blessing. If she takes that step, it's going to lead to that blessing. He's got all that laid out for us. So he has a foreknowledge. He has the wisdom in which is the best way to go for that day. And he has the love behind it that he orders it with. It's his love. It's not his judgment. It's not his wrath. It's not his impatience, because he's not impatient. It's his love that directs us to that best possible way for each and every day. So every day, he has a plan for us. And all we need to do is put one foot in front of the other and follow his steps. Then we fulfill what he's called us to do that day. It's a successful day, and it's a blessed day. And I don't know about you, but I like having blessed days. I like to get at the end of the day and say, boy, was my day blessed. And even if there are pitfalls that came in that I hit or didn't pay attention or didn't quite follow his footsteps, but he took me around and he pulled me up and you can still get to the end and you see his hand there. I want to give you a few scriptures just to jot down and ponder later on. Psalm 32:8, God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. What a wonderful promise. Okay, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he said, I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to show you the way to go. And I'm going to guide you with my eye. Is that great? Unbelievers don't have that. They got to figure it out. We have that. All we have to do is follow him. It's wonderful. Psalm 23, 2 and 3. He, God, makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Once again, he's leading me. Every single day, he's leading me, he's guiding me. He's saying, you need to lay down now, you need to rest, you need to rise up, you need to, all these things. It's wonderful. And then in John 16, 13, Jesus said, when he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. It's the Holy Spirit who leads and guides us throughout the day. It's wonderful. Says the steps of a good man, or one of the translations was godly man, are ordered by the Lord. So a good man or a godly man, so that indicates we kind of have a part in this too. It's not that we are just these puppets that God, we wake up in the morning and, you know, he just kind of picks us up and this is the path that you're going to go on. I mean, some days that would be really nice because, you know, you wouldn't get into any trouble, you wouldn't have any problems because he's just taking you along. But he doesn't do that because, of course, there's always choice. So what is our part? Our part is obedience. Our part is, okay, I got to get in tune with the Lord, and I do that first thing in the morning, my quiet time. It's like, okay, I'm communing with you, but I need to know what you want me to do today and how you want me to do it. I need to acknowledge him in all my ways so they make sure they're his ways, right? So it's hearing, it's acknowledging, and then it's doing. It's obedience. I got to know what to do, so I got to hear what to do. And then I acknowledge, okay, I hear that. I acknowledge that. That is the right way to go. And now I've got to do it. I have always liked Deuteronomy chapter 28. I've appreciated it because there's a real good practical lesson in there. And in Deuteronomy 28, where Moses had just kind of given this recap of the 40 years, and the children of Israel are getting ready to go into the promised land. Moses cannot go, but they're getting ready to go in. Moses there is speaking for God, and he says in verses 1 and 2, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord." Now, take this in mind with your steps are ordered by the Lord. Okay, so diligently obey all of these commands, all these things the Lord has told you to do, all these steps that he has laid out for you to do. Diligently obey his voice. Be careful to observe all his commands. Then all these blessings will come upon you. They'll overtake you. Do you want to be overtaken by anything at all? No, you want to be overtaken by blessings. I don't want to be overtaken by fear. I don't want to be overtaken by doubt or sin or something scary or whatever it might be. I want to be overtaken. I would love blessings to just come and take me and envelop me. So then he goes on in the next 12 verses and states what those blessings are. And you can read that later. But after those 12 verses, then he says, "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you, and they will overtake you." Then for the next 52 verses, he describes what those curses look like and what that disobedience looks like, and what will happen in that disobedience. And so the whole point to that chapter, and this is what I like about it, is that the path of obedience is already blessed. Here's God's commands, here's His way, His truth, His heart. These are the steps He's laid out for you, for me, for any particular day. Those steps, that path is already blessed. Blessings as far as you can see. And this path of disobedience, disregarding Him, kind of taking, leaving what He says, adding my own, I don't want to do that, all those things, that's all disobedience. That path's already cursed. It's not like I disobey and this curse gets zapped. It's my choice. It's already cursed. I love that. It's like, okay, if I stay right here where I'm supposed to be, my life will be blessed. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean there won't be battles or pain or anything, but I'm going to be blessed. But if I disobey, even a little bit, I mean, just think about a given day. About if you've disobeyed and one, or you just kind of didn't listen to them or whatever, there's already a consequence there. So it's very important to remember that the steps of a good or an obedient, godly person, those are laid out by the Lord, and they're blessed. God orders our steps, and we choose to follow His path of blessing, obedience, or disaster, disobedience. Remember that in all our ways, we're to acknowledge Him. Each day, ask, Lord, what do you have for me today? I have my to-do list. These are the things I know I have to do. These are the things I'd like to do. These are the things I've been asked to do, whatever it might be. And what do you want me to do? We ask Him, we listen to make sure we give Him time to answer. We acknowledge, okay, Lord, this is what you've told me. I'm acknowledging you in this. I'm acknowledging you're right, and this is what I need to do, and then I'm going to do it. Now, let's read the next verse in Psalm 37, verse 24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I love that. Because I read that and I think the steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord. I know that. I do not doubt that. I don't doubt that. But I will confess to you that not every day I follow every single one of His steps all day long. I want to. That's my plan. But I have a stupid flesh that gets in the way. I don't want to. Or I want to do this. Or, whatever it is. So then, in His mercy and His grace, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, because the Lord upholds him with his hand. He knows our hearts to please him with our obedience. If our heart indeed wants to obey him, we love him, we want to please his heart, he knows that. And he knows our weaknesses. Your weaknesses are going to be different than mine. But we all have them. Jesus knew that, knows that. He even told the disciples, the spirit is willing, but the flesh, it is weak. I like what, I can't remember who said it, was either Bill McDonald or Matthew Henry or somebody. He said, he upholds the one whose ways please him. Though such a man may fall into trials and tribulations, he will never be engulfed by them, for the Lord holds him securely by his hand. We are held securely by the Lord's hand. I'll say it one more time. We battle our fleshly desires every single day, our weaknesses, and we battle the enemy. And God knows that there will be obstacles. He does not put the obstacles there. He doesn't put the pit in there. He doesn't put a trap in there. He doesn't tempt us. He doesn't trap us. But he does allow it. He allows the enemy. It's just a consequence of sin in the earth. And then, of course, it's a consequence of our own weaknesses and fleshly desires. So he knows that there's going to be those pits and those obstacles in our way. But he always, always gives us a way of escape. Always. And he gives us the power to escape them. Power of the Holy Spirit. And then he upholds us. Our God, he picks us up and he dusts us off every single time we fall. Every single time we sin, every single time we fail him, he picks us up and he dusts us off. He shows us the right path if we get off the path. And you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, kind of nudges us and we go, I went off again. And he says, it's okay, come on. There's the path. He does that. He gives us grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Another promise for the obedient out of Psalm 121, verse 3, he will not allow your foot to be moved. And I have a few more scriptures I want you to jot down. And these would be really good for you to write on a index card or put them on your phone or put them somewhere that you have access to them so that you can memorize them and use them as prayers. It's only two scriptures. Psalm 27:11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. So as he orders our steps, but now we're asking, oh Lord, teach me. Teach me and lead me in a smooth path. Now, I like the Good News translation for that verse. Teach me, Lord, what you want me to do. And lead me along a safe path because I have many enemies. I like that. And then another that I pray almost daily is Psalm 25:4-5. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truths and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Lord, show me your ways today. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths. Lead me. Guide me. Teach me. And then, lastly, I love that phrase that I mentioned earlier from Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Have we ever stopped to really think about what that means? We've memorized it, probably most of us. We sing, this is a newer song that we just sang, but you know, there's been songs throughout time that you learn in Sunday school or wherever with that, surely goodness and mercy. But have we stopped to really think about it? The New Living Translation I like too. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. I like that. So we've got goodness and mercy following us, and we have goodness and unfailing love pursuing us. And I like the word surely. Because when David wrote that psalm, a shepherd's psalm, he wrote that at the end with confidence. Surely. There is no doubt about it. This is a promise. And if God promises it, it will happen. And I like the confidence of the Good News Translation. I know that your goodness and love will be with me all my life. I love that. I know that your goodness and your love, your mercy will be with me all of my life. And we can confidently say that even if we're in a pit, even if we've got our ankle caught in a trap, even if we've stumbled, even if we are in the deepest, darkest trial or the severest heartbreak or pain or whatever it might be, I know your goodness and your love. It surrounds me. It follows me. It pursues me. It will be with me all of my life. I love that. No matter what our circumstance will be, God's goodness, mercy, unfailing love, and blessings will be upon us, will be with us through every single temptation, through every trial, through every tear and every bit of pain, through every bit of worry, every bit of doubt, of fear, every failure. God's great goodness and mercy and unfailing love, goodness, blessings are ours. And I like the way Matthew Henry kind of describes all of this. He said, David wrote Psalm 23, David's hope rises and his faith is strengthened by being exercised. He said, observe this. Number one, what he promises himself, goodness and mercy. Now listen to the way he describes this. All the streams of mercy flowing from the fountain, pardoning mercy, protecting mercy, sustaining mercy, supplying mercy. Like, okay, yes, I love this. Number two, the manner of the conveyance of it. It shall follow me as the water out of the rock followed the camp of Israel through the wilderness. It shall follow into all places, all conditions shall always be ready. Number three, the continuance of it. It shall follow me all my life long. Even to the last, for whom God loves, he loves to the end. Number four, the constancy of it. All the days of my life, as duly as the day comes, it shall be new every morning, like the manna that has been given to the Israelites every day. And number five, the certainty of it. Surely it shall be. It is as sure as the promise of the God of truth can make it, and we know in whom we have believed. All of it is ours. Goodness and mercy will follow us, will pursue us, will overwhelm us. Oh, the path of obedience. All these blessings will overtake you. So this whole year we've talked about, you know, avoid this, avoid that. Here we want to equip you, we want to help you to learn how to identify it, to learn how to stay away from it or what to do, how to get out of it. That's all been so needed, so important. But here we are at the end, and now we get to realize, wow, our steps are ordered by the Lord, and I just need to get right in line with him. I look back on my life this last year. I know that God has ordered my steps. Would I have ordered them the way that he has? Absolutely not. I don't know. I wouldn't. But I know he did. I could see his hand in it. And I know that even though it's hard, and even though it's sad, and even though it's whatever it might be, his goodness and his mercy is there. And I know you feel the same way. I know you've been through things, and you've your steps that you're just like, why is this a step, Lord? Why? But his goodness and his mercy are right there with you every step of the way. We need to yield, we need to obey, and then we need to really just sit back and allow all those blessings to overtake us. And Father, we thank you. Thank you for your unfailing love, your blessings, that you, the creator of the heavens and the earth, you who have all knowledge, you see, no, there's nothing hidden from you. You see all things. And you even know the thoughts that we think before we think them. So you got it all planned out. Every single day, Lord, thank you that I don't have to figure it out. We thank you that we don't have to figure it out. We acknowledge our ignorance. We just don't have the smarts, Lord. We don't. We don't have the foreknowledge. We don't have the wisdom. We just don't know. We're learning. We're growing. But, oh, we need a shepherd to lead and guide us. And thank you that you do. And thank you that you've given us the power and the ability to obey. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Father, that this, if the light hasn't went on for some of us in this, that it would go on. And so that tomorrow morning when we wake up, it would just be, wow. Okay, those footsteps are somewhere. I gotta find them. And that we would take time with you and it connect with your heart and your mind and to know where you're leading us. And that, Father, you would give us the will to be willing to obey even in the hard things. And Lord, you would show us the blessings on that path. And that there would be red flags and danger warnings and sirens on the path of disobedience, on our path, or on our friend's path that they want us to go on, or whatever it might be. But oh, Father, keep us on your path, and may your words, your truth, and your promise that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, Lord, embed them on our hearts and our minds. May we never, ever forget them. Father, thank you for all you have done, for being faithful every single Wednesday night, whether we have been in this room together or in our small groups together. You've been faithful to show up. You've been faithful to speak, to teach, to encourage. We thank you and praise you for that, Lord. We worship you, and we love you, Lord.